It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Wow, good morning, and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 13th. How are we doing this morning? Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Wow, just returned from a wonderful week in Greenville, South Carolina, and playing in the BMW Charity Pro-Am, the Korn Ferry Tour event, the final round today, everybody. What a great event. And I love the town of Greenville. Have you ever been to Greenville, South Carolina? It was my first time there. They put us up at the brand new AC Hotel right in town. You could walk everywhere, all the stores, the restaurants. There's a beautiful park called Falls Park surrounding just a gorgeous waterfall on the Reedy River. And there's sculptures and artwork just situated inside the park and all over the lovely town. And if you're an art lover and a foodie, Greenville is for you. I had some terrific meals there. And, you know, having the opportunity to play in this event was just an incredible experience. There's really no better way to understand the high caliber of talent that is on the Korn Ferry Tour than by having the opportunity to play in the same foursome with the pros. I mean, those guys are so good. And, you know, I was just so impressed with everyone I met. They could not have been more friendly, more accommodating. It was a wonderful week for sure, and I thank Michael McGovern, the tournament director of the PGA Charity Pro-Am, for inviting me and for asking me to interview both Roger Clemens and Jay Haas for the Breakfast with Champions that took place during tournament week, the Wednesday morning before the event started. And those guys told some incredible stories. I know they taped it. I wish I could have taped it and played it on the show, but I'll have to get both of them on the show so they can share their stories with all of you as well. Roger is just a huge golfer, as many of you know, Roger Clemens. And Jay Haas and Jay's wife, Jan, was there. Jay Jr. was there. Jay's daughter. I mean, the Haas family is certainly the first family of golf in Greenville, South Carolina. So it was good to spend some time with everybody. Just a great event. And in one of my practice rounds, I played with Max McGreevy. Love that name. It's a great golf name, Max McGreevy. And Austin Waite. And Austin's dad, Grant Waite, you golfers remember, he played on the PGA Tour, Champions Tour. He's now coaching. And he was caddying for his son, Austin, this week. And coaches him as well. And in fact, he's the coach of the woman who won the ANA Inspiration, Patty Tabatanikit, now a major champion. So Grant Waite will join us this hour to talk about the BMW Charity Pro-Am, the Korn Ferry Tour, all the tours, really, as he's involved as both a player, a coach, and he caddied for his son this week. So we'll talk to Grant Waite later in the show. Getting back to Max McGreevy, he shot a 5-under yesterday. He's 15-under for the tournament, but he's 8 shots behind the leader, Justin Lauer, who shot a 7-under yesterday at 23-under for the tournament.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
All right, Ann Liguori back with you on The Fan, and I'm talking about the BMW Charity Pro-Am and have the privilege of being paired with Austin Eckroat for the tournament. And Austin was a 4-time All-American at Oklahoma State. He played on the U.S. winning Walker Cup team a few weeks ago at Seminole Golf Club in Florida. You heard Nathaniel Crosby, the captain of the U.S. team, on the show a few weeks back. And because Austin was a top 5 senior this season in the new PGA Tour University ranking system, he earned exempt status for the rest of the Korn Ferry Tour season. And he also earned an entry into the final stage of the KFT Q School this year. Sponsorship deal with Ping this week. So what a future this young man has. And the BMW Charity Pro-Am this week is his first professional event
What a pleasure to get to know his father, Steve, who is his coach, to meet Sally, his fiance. They recently got engaged. They just make a gorgeous couple. So to have played in the same group with him for 4 days was an exceptional experience. And, you know, his game is amazing. But what is equally impressive is how nice of a person he is. Super easy to be around. And just delightful. He carded a 5-under in the first round at the Thornblade Golf Club. He was 5 on the front nine with an eagle and also had an eagle on the back. And in the second round at Cliff Valley, and what a gorgeous course that is, a Ben Wright design up in the mountains. Austin shot a 4-under. And then back at the Thornblade Golf Club yesterday, he posted another 4-under. So he is 13-under overall. And he told me he received a special exemption into the Travelers Championship. And in a few minutes, we'll visit with Andy Bassett, the Executive VP, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers. How exciting that Austin will be playing in that PGA Tour event. It will be his first PGA Tour event as a professional. So, and of course, just this past week, it was announced that Phil Mickelson will be playing in the Travelers. So the PGA champion himself will be up in Cromwell, Connecticut, just outside of Hartford at the TPC River Highlands course to play in the Travelers Championship the week after the U.S. Open. So I'm sure Andy Bassett will be delighted to talk about that and the rest of the field. But getting back to the BMW Charity Pro-Am, I also played with a pro named Chase Johnson from Kent, Ohio, a Kent State standout. And like Austin Eckrode, I mean, this guy has Hollywood looks. He has a great personality to match. You know, just so impressive, these guys. The other amateur in our group was a guy named Phil Boyce. His wife Taylor caddied for him. A couple Ohioans. What a pleasure to play with some fellow Ohioans. And shout out to Beth Ann Towson, who caddied for me, and to Bella Harris, who drove us around all week. Both played college golf and just exceptional in every way. So we'll talk a little bit more about that event with Grant Waite coming up in the second half of the show. The PGA Tour is also in South Carolina, in Richland, South Carolina, at the Palmetto Championship, taking place at Congaree Golf Club. And Cheston Hadley was 3-under on Saturday, 14-under overall, 33 years old, Cheston Hadley. The horn sounded for a weather delay yesterday after his tee shot. On the 18th, he leads Harris English by 4 shots. Now, Hadley, he's missed 10 of his last 12 cuts coming into this week. So wouldn't it be great if he could hang on and turn his game around a little bit? At the LPGA Medihill Championship in California, Min Lee at 9-under has a 2-shot lead over Matilda Castron. So the U.S. Open is coming up. This week on the South Course at Torrey Pines in San Diego. The course will be set up to play 7,652 yards as a par 71. I was there back in 2008 to cover for FAN and watch Tiger beat Rocco Mediate in a 19-hole playoff to win his third U.S. Open title back then. He forced the playoff with that 12-footer for birdie on the last hole in regulation. They were tied after an 18-hole playoff on Monday, and then Tiger beat Rocco Mediate with a par on the first hole of sudden death. Unbelievable. I mean, just an incredible effort. He won on one leg. He had knee surgery after that U.S. Open, but such a historic Open, and I'm sure you all remember watching it, just Tiger playing literally on one leg. All right, we are going to take a quick break, come back, connect with Andy Bassett, the Executive VP, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers, as the Travelers Championship is right around the corner. At Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're so excited to welcome another field of world-class golfers to this year's Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Since 2007, the tournament has raised over $20 million for charities across the region thanks to the support of the PGA Tour's best players, the thousands of volunteers, and all our loyal fans. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talking Golf, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Andy Bassett, Executive VP, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers. And Andy has been involved with organizing the Travelers for many years and has become a familiar face with the PGA Tour players and the Korn Ferry Tour players, as we've been talking about. Hey, Andy, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. How are you today?
Good, 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 good. It's been a busy week and an exciting week. And I know it's been exciting for the Travelers. You had some huge news that was announced this past week that Phil Mickelson has committed to play.
Yeah, you know, we have a great field as usual, which is always our biggest objective of every year. And, you know, Dustin Johnson, number one in the world, we're so excited to have Dustin back. And Bryson DeChambeau, who's five, and Patrick Cantlay, who's seven, who just won. Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed, 8 and 9. I mean, we've got a terrific field. And then this past Monday, we found out Steve Loy, who is Phil's longtime coach, but agent now, called me and said, hey, Phil just called me and told me he wanted me to call you and tell you he's coming. And I said, wow, that's really cool. That's great. I can't tell you exactly what I said, but that was the sense of what I said. I was so excited because I've had many conversations with Phil. He's been a great supporter of what we try to do here at the Travelers Championship, and he's just been a great partner. So I was so excited to have him get the call on Monday. And, you know, all of our hard work from our trip to Charlotte a few weeks ago to the Wells Fargo paid off and was very, very very, very exciting and useful to what we're trying to get done at Travelers.
And what did you think of his win at the Ocean Course? Geez, just unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Becoming the oldest player at the age of 50 to win a major.
You know, if anybody can do that, it's Phil. And, you know, I had my doubts. It was funny. I'll tell you a short story of what happened down in Charlotte. Phil's working. He's so focused on his game right now. I think it's exciting. I love to see that as an athlete. I love to see the focus. And I saw Tim, his brother, who's his caddy. I said, Tim, when's the best time just to say hi to Phil? And Tim said, hey, come on back at 11:30. We're going to move from the range to putting, and then you can just grab him for a second. Okay, great. So I go back. I'm very obedient. I went back at 11:30. And Phil looked up. He was just finished. He came over and said, hey, Andy, how you doing? And we just had a short conversation. And he said to me, he said, you know, I really would love to get it to the Travelers this year again. He said, I just love the course. I love the fans. He said, the fans that you guys attract are so great. They're so knowledgeable about golf. And they're so supportive. He said, I really, really would like to get back there. I said, Phil, you just call me if whatever you need. The answer is yes, and we'll figure it out. And so I watched him, as you said, and I watched him win at the PGA Championship, and I'm like, oh, boy, I doubt this is going to happen. I mean, because he'll just be too busy. He'll be getting ready for the U.S. Open and such. And so I get to fast forward, and I get the call on Monday, and I was just like, wow, Phil is like a super guy. I mean, just really, really good. So we're excited, and what a win, right, on the Ocean Course. My gosh, I played that course, and that is not easy. And in the way these guys play it, the way the course is set up, it's really not easy. So we're really excited.
I know. It was unbelievable. It's great, those personal conversations with Phil. I mean, he's just such a personable guy. And, you know, the fact that he was having trouble sustaining focus for long periods of time, and then he goes out and looks more focused and confident than ever. I mean, that was a quick turnaround as far as his mental game goes, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I think so many of these golfers, I mean, they're world-class athletes. And I think, and you and I have talked about this before, I mean, world-class athletes technically have it down. And they're technical masters of their sports, of golf in this case, and their bodies are physically in great shape, and it becomes a mental game. I think a lot of this is probably 70-80% mental, because everything else is great. They've been doing this for years and years and years, playing since they were, in some cases, little kids, and it becomes very, very much your approach, your preparation, your confidence in your game and your focus on what you're trying to accomplish.
And making those adjustments when you need to, you know, so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like night and day, you know? I mean,
yeah,
the way Phil performed on the ocean course.
Yeah.
What about, you know, you mentioned Dustin Johnson. I read an interesting piece when Dustin won last year, your defending champion, and you went up to him and asked if he would be back. What did he say?
You know, last year was such a strange year, wasn't it? It was a strange year for all of us. We had no fans. Nathan Grube, our tournament director, and I were on the 18th hole when Dustin came in, and we were high-fiving each other and looking around for somebody else to high-five, and there was nobody else to high-five. And, you know, and we did the trophy ceremony. It was Nathan and I doing it with him in a little safe area outside, and I said to him, you know, Dustin, congratulations, great win. I sure hope we see you next year. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, Andy, I'm your defending champion. Of course I'm coming back next year. And I'm like, wow, this is a really good day. And so Nathan was there. And I think if you had seen our faces on camera, it wasn't, but if you'd seen our faces on camera, our mouths just dropped open. And so we went up and we said bye to him, got him in his SUV and off to the airport. And I said, where are you going next? Figuring, oh, we talk about golf. He said, I'm going fishing. Really? I said, where? And he said, well, I have a boat. I just bought a boat. It's down in Jupiter, Florida. And I said, that's terrific. I said, what do you go fishing? I'm a fisherman, too. And I said, what are you going fishing for? And so we talked. And so this year, I think this is kind of a cool story. Every year, we give a gift to our defending champion when they do media day. And Dustin was good enough to do a virtual media day, which everything was still virtual then. So I called a friend of mine who makes custom fishing rods down in Jupiter. Said, I need two rods custom made for sailfish. That's like not quite a tuna rod, but it's a pretty massive rod. I said, I want embossed on it, Travelers Championship, Dustin Johnson, 2020 champion. So this year, I told him about it, but at media day. But I've got him here with me, and we're going to present those to him at the 2021 Travelers Championship, and just thank him again for what he did. But I mean, we think of good things. Mark Leishman, we made a cricket bat for, and we always have fun with these gifts. And I thought, what better to give a guy that loves to fish for big fish than a custom-made fishing rod? I know to those who don't fish probably wouldn't really appreciate it, but that's a big, big deal to a fisherman, golfer, like a guy like Dustin Johnson.
Oh, he's going to love that. See, that's what your team goes the extra mile. That's why these players commit early and want to come to this event, you know? What about Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau? That would be interesting.
Will the feud continue
at the Travelers Championship?
Yeah. I love Bryson and I love Brooks, and they're both great guys. But, you know, but I realized as once upon a time when I was an Olympian, and I am Olympian, but when I was in the Olympics and training for that, when you're a world-class athlete, you're out to compete. And nothing is like playing golf on a Sunday afternoon, right? It's highly competitive. It's very focused. And, you know, I watch that and I think to myself, that's happening every day. It's probably a little bit more visible with the media and such, but that happens all the time. I mean, guys might like each other and they might not like each other, and they're out there to compete and to win. And it's a highly intensive battlefield, as I look at it. But, you know, I look at that, and I love both of these guys. Bryson and Brooks are two great guys. But they're competing at the highest level, too. And so, you know, we all have to understand that there are lots of things. A lot of people, some people like people and some people don't like people. And I don't really understand what's going on there at all. But I love both of these guys. They're great guys. And I spent time with both of them, and, you know, they have the best intentions with charitable organizations in their hearts, and they love the game of golf, and they're masters of the game of golf, and they hit the ball a long way, too, and so that's probably interesting in itself. But, you know, it's one more. We get this number 5 and number 8 in the world. They're going to be competing really hard at the Travelers Championship.
and there might be some social media drama going on at the same time. So you got to love that.
Well,
I was talking earlier. I was talking earlier, Andy, that I had the pleasure of playing with Austin Eckroat at the BMW Charity Pro-Am in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And it was his very first professional golf tournament. And I understand that the Travelers Championship will be his very first PGA Tour event as a professional. How psyched are you about that?
I think it's great. I mean, we've got, you know, and Ann, you and I have talked about this many times, but we have some terrific young golfers come through the Travelers Championship. I mean, look at the class from last year, a couple of years ago. I mean, again, as an athlete, I believe in giving young athletes an opportunity. And that's what we do at Travelers. Travelers is a great company. And we love to give our employees an opportunity to excel. And I think that fits the Travelers mission exactly with the PGA Tour mission and the Travelers Championship mission. And a guy like that is a terrific young player. And John Pack, who just won, I think he won all the awards for young players coming out of college.
John at FSU.
Yeah, exactly. And a great golfer. I mean, just really, I mean, world class. And these young guys are coming up and doing such a great job. So we're going to have a great threesome of young players and playing along with the best in the world. And, you know, you look at how the other players we have given exemptions to in the past. I mean, Webb Simpson is my – I always go back and talk about Webb. And, you know, he said to me in 2008, "Oh, Mr. Bissett, thank you for my exemption." I said, "Webb, when you get famous, just don't forget us." And then fast forward right to 2011, was it? I think, when he won the U.S. Open. And he came back and he said, "I told you I would never forget you." And I'm like, you know, that sends chills up my spine. And we do this to help the young players. And I always say to them, just don't forget us when you get famous. And most have not. Most of them come back and support what we're doing because they know we're trying to raise money. As the lead-in said, we've raised over $20 million since we started this in 2007. And last year in 2020, in the middle of a pandemic, we still raised $1.6 million for charity, over $1.6 million. And this year, you know, we're going to have over 10,000 fans at the course every day, which is phenomenal. At least Nathan and I won't be high-fiving each other. And we'll be able to go out and find somebody to high-five with. But it's going to be terrific. And with all those fans out there, we hope to exceed that number of 1.6 million and raise, again, getting back to somewhat of a normal and raise some serious money for charities again.
Yeah, absolutely. The spectators will be back, as you mentioned. That's going to be just incredible to have them back. And I know you have, you know, certain ticket programs for healthcare workers, first responders, military. So can people still get tickets, Andy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got, again, as I said, we get 10,000 tickets a day. The tickets are selling like crazy. As you might imagine, and I, Nathan and I always kind of keep each other honest, and Nathan's always like, "We're going to sell so many tickets now that Phil's announced." And I was like, "I'm not sure." Well, you know, we sold a huge number yesterday, and so the tickets are selling really well. There's still tickets available. We have two clubs on course and general admission tickets, and the clubs are on 17 and 18. The 18 club is called the Trinity Healthcare Courtyard Club, and the other one is called the Stanley Black & Decker Courtyard Club. And Nathan and I were down looking at the building this past week, and the views from these two clubs are unbelievable because there's nothing else on the course other than people. And so it's going to be really exciting. So people can buy tickets. I encourage you to buy tickets quickly to get into these two clubs. It's full of food, beer and wine, and seating. There'll be picnic tables, so to speak, with umbrellas lining the 18th fairway and the 17th. So it's going to be just a phenomenal experience. And just come in and, you know, general admission tickets are different prices every day from $50 to $70. And they're selling like wildfire. And they'll, you know, listen, you can walk 200 acres of a golf course and eat some great food at concessions and know that it's as safe as anything is out there. Being outdoors is the safest place to be, I think, these days. But I look at that, and safety is our number one piece at the Travis Championship this year. We're trying to make sure, and that, you know, if people are fully vaccinated, great, you don't have to wear a mask. If you're not fully vaccinated, we're encouraging everybody to wear a mask just for safety. And go out and have a great time and eat, follow your world-class golfers, and have a great time with your family.
It's really a great week, and I'm so delighted that it's getting a little more back to normal, that's for sure. Andy Bassett, thank you so much. We'll see you a week from this week. It's coming. It's right around the corner.
Hey, we're back to normal, and I can't wait to see you and give you a high five and be excited about our great field and come out and follow Phil and have just a terrific week.
Definitely. I'll see you shortly. So enjoy, and I'll talk
Thank
to you,
you.
After the U.S. Open. Andy Bassett, Thanks. Executive VP, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers. Ah, can't wait. It's such a great event. All right. Well, coming up, the Grant Waite, professional player, coach, and caddy. I mean, the guy does it all, the ubiquitous Grant Waite. We'll catch up with him. He's at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. But first, let me tell you, at Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're so excited to welcome another field of world-class golfers to this year's Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Since 2007, the tournament has raised over $20 million for charities across the region, thanks to the support of the PGA Tour's best players, the thousands of volunteers, and all our loyal fans. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf. Hope you're having a great morning so far. Happy Sunday. And joining me now is the ubiquitous Grant Waite, professional golfer, coach, caddy. Grant, you're doing it all. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I've never been described like that before, but thank you.
Well, what a pleasure to have played a practice round with your son, Austin Waite, and Max McCready this past week at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. And, boy, what a great week.
Yeah, well, it was also fun playing with you, just by the way. But, yeah, it was. It is a great week. You know, they put on a really good tournament. The golf course was, despite all the rain, was in remarkable shape. And it was my son's first Korn Ferry event, so that was, you know, exciting for him, and it was fun for me to caddy for him. So it was a great week, and the tournament's still obviously going to finish up today, and it should be pretty exciting because there's lots of birdies out there.
Lots of birdies. Unbelievable how low they're scoring. I said it's Max McGreevy. Yeah, I love that name, Max McGreevy. You caddied for your son, Austin.
Right. Yeah, he just wanted, as his first event, he wanted me on the bag just so he's familiar with me, obviously, and then he helped him feel a little bit more comfortable. I understand his game, so I could help him in certain situations, and it was good. You know, he played fine, didn't score as well as he liked, and made a couple of mistakes in the second round. And unfortunately led to a bogey, then a double bogey. And, of course, with the scores going so low, he then had to try and press to make birdies to make the cut, and he ended up not doing it. But he played – I was actually very happy with how he played overall. Just the scores weren't there for him.
What's that father-son dynamic like, you know, as you – well, you coach him and caddy him now, you know, for him on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, that must be interesting, especially, you know, when you don't make the cut. It's disappointing.
Yeah, well, it is disappointing, and, you know, I'm probably as his father as disappointed as he is that he didn't make the cut versus, you know, a normal caddy-player relationship. However, it's my two sons both play golf, and my oldest one here is doing professionally. So when I help them, a lot of credit goes to them that they listen. You know, it's very difficult as a parent to coach, because as they're growing up, you're telling them, you know, you got to clean your room, do your homework, take the trash out, can't do this, you can do that, don't do this. and everything sounds like a command. And then when you start coaching, that starts to sound the same way. So I think that's why there's a lot of rejection from kids towards their parents as they try and help them play golf. Now, the only advantage I've got is I can do it and do it at a pretty high level and play it at the highest level possible. So I have a lot of legitimacy. So they listen, and that credit really goes to them.
Yeah, no, he was just, I just am so impressed with your son and all the guys I met this week. They're just incredible people and players. And can you pinpoint what separates the talent on the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour? I mean, there's so many talented players on the Korn Ferry Tour these days. And, you know, it's just so hard to make that leap, right?
Yeah, so the style of golf is a little bit different on the Korn Ferry versus the PGA Tour. Most of the Korn Ferry golf courses are a little bit shorter. They don't have quite as much rough, and the scores are just very, very low. Now, on the Tour, they're low as well, but not to the same extent. So the golf courses are a little more demanding. So when you look at the players out here, it really is a scoring tour where you have the opportunity to shoot extremely low almost every day. Now, there are a few courses that aren't that way, obviously, but we would say as majority of the courses they play are much more just shorter, a lot of wedge game, a lot of putting involved. Now, on the PGA Tour, you're going to have to play some more difficult shots. And so if you are playing well, it's easier to separate yourself from the rest of the field. But look, you know, I'm out here watching all these young men trying to get to the PGA Tour, and the talent level is just extremely high. It is, they are really, really good. And I think whoever comes out of here at the end of the year will be ready to play on the PGA Tour for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, how difficult is it to move up to the PGA Tour from the Korn Ferry?
Well, here's the thing, you know, it's you have to keep telling yourself it's the same golf. You know, you're it's still a tee box, a fairway, and then there's a green, and there's no real difference. That's what you tell yourself. So it's more, you all of a sudden you're comfortable on the Korn Ferry Tour, you've played well, then you move up a level, and then next thing you walk on the driving range and you're hitting balls between Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, and you've watched them on TV and you know how great they are, and suddenly you feel like you have to play better than you know how, and it's just not true. If you play golf the way that you're capable, if you've graduated from the Korn Ferry Tour, then you're easily good enough to make it on the PGA Tour. So there's really a mental shift that you have to get past the fact that you think you have to play better than you know how, because you just don't.
Yeah, it's really more how you handle it mentally, right? It's all between the ears. It's the toughest mental game out there, right?
Yeah, you know, I always say to people that, you know, they say golf's such a mental game, and it's 100% mental, 90% mental. And I always say, well, every shot you ever hit is 100% mental and 100% physical. If you don't have the physical side of it, you're wasting your time. If you don't have the mental, emotional side, you're wasting your time too, because there's just too many people who can do both. So in the case of when you shift up a level, it's the same thing when you see people who are trying to win a tournament the first time. It's just more difficult than people who have been there before because they understand the process. And the same thing moving up to that level to get to the PGA Tour is the game is they're all good enough and you see it. It's just, can they handle the fact that suddenly, you know, they're out there playing at the highest level and their scrutiny of performance and the attention you get. Now, some people really like it and some people prefer not to have that. And that's a really, really a big thing. So that mental part is really, that's what you're dealing with. And I think if you can quantify that in your mind that, okay, still just golf, then you'll be fine.
Right. And talking about, you know, somebody who has the entire package is one of your students, somebody that you coach, and her name is Patty Tabatanikit, who won the ANA Inspiration. How did you connect with her? And she with you?
Yeah, so Patty, about almost a year ago now, came to me. She lives in Orlando, and she actually joined the same golf course I'm at. And she was playing, the year before she went on she was on the Symetra Tour, graduated out onto the LPGA, and she started playing on the LPGA Tour. And she wasn't playing her best golf. She just was struggling and came to me and said, look, I'm not playing as well as I'd like. Can you help me? And, you know, immediately I played with her a couple of times and watched her and just watched her hit balls. And then we started talking about what I think she needed to do. And she liked what I had to say. And And so we just started working together. And then I went and caddied for her at the end of the year, towards the end of the year in Georgia, so I could see what was happening in tournament golf. And I learned an amazing amount about how she sees a golf course and the shots she plays and what adjustments we really needed to make and her strengths and weaknesses. So we went to work on the off season, and you got to give her an amazing amount of credit, because instead of going back home to Thailand to spend time with the family, which she knew if she didn't do it, she wouldn't see them for a couple of years, she decided, I'm not, because of COVID, I'm going to stay here and work on my game and get ready for the season. So we spent quite a bit of time working on her game. And then at the start of the year, I caddied for her again at the first two tournaments, and she finished 5th and 13th. And we did that because we wanted to institute the changes that we had made and just see how they show up in a tournament, and so I could be there to problem solve for her. And once she got through those two tournaments, she understood what she was doing. I'm like, okay, you're good now. And she went on to win the A&A in really almost in record fashion. And if it wasn't for Lydia Ko's historic final round, she would have, and she still won by a couple, she would have won by 6 or 7. That's how dominant she was in that event. But look, you know, with Patty, she's always been a good player, and her parents, and especially her dad, deserve a lot of credit, because he developed her, and she went to UCLA and won 7 times in 2 years. So it's not like she came from nowhere. She was good. She just had lost her game a little bit, and I just kind of helped to get back on track.
What a great success story. Now, does your approach as a coach vary when it comes to coaching the men and the women? Is it different at all?
Oh, it's very different. The demands for women's golf is totally different than men. Now, where men have a big advantage in this game is that they've just got speed and power and strength. They just got more of it. So they can overpower the golf course, and at times they can use their strength in a golf swing and overpower sometimes some average mechanics or not such great mechanics. But women, because of speed, they just cannot do that. So they have to be more precise. And I've always said that most men, average golfers or people who play golf as a hobby and love the game, should go watch the women play, and anyone should, because they have to. They play the game with precision. They have to. They cannot use. Well, Patty may be a oddity. She's got some speed and power, but most of them have to place the ball around the golf course in a very precise manner, and they're good at it. And they're really good at it. I'd coached one other woman before Patty, and never really been to an event. And since I went with Patty to those events, and now I'm coaching 3 on the LPGA Tour and just picked up a 4th one, I really, really respect what those women do, because they have to play the game differently. So when I look at their swings, there's some things that they must do that men just don't have to do.
Yeah, it's just a whole different game, right? The women and the men. Yet these women hit the ball a mile, you know.
They
so
do.
Respect their power too, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is if you go watch the women on the LPGA, they hit the ball further than the average male. They do. Their club head speeds are, you know, up close to 100 mile an hour, just under 100 mile an hour. And when I give lessons to a lot of the average players, their club head speeds the same or less. And so if you really want to understand how to play the game at that speed, I would go watch the women, because, you know, you go watch Rory McIlroy or Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, the average person can never do that. They just got so much speed that they've developed over their lifetime that if you really wanted to understand how to play the game at your speed, the average player's speed, they should watch the women, because it is amazing how good they are for what they and how they play the game. I've just got a lot of respect for them. It's amazing to watch.
And I have a lot of respect for you, that you're coaching both men and women, and you're such a joy to be with. It's been such a great week at the BMW Charity Prom. Did you have the opportunity to enjoy, you know, all the festivities or Greenville at all, or was it all golf for you?
No, when I played the tour, we tried to make a point at times to go and just experience the local culture. And so we did that a little bit. And we had my son, we're good friends with King Griffey Jr., who played with my son. And so, we spent some time with them. And
Is he a power hitter on the golf course as well?
Yeah, well, as you would expect, he is. So he's got a lot of club head speed. He's got a little bit of problems with directional control, but he's definitely got some speed. So it was
I give
fun.
The
we
pros a lot. I give the pros a lot of credit for putting up with you know us amateur golfers. That's for sure.
Well, look, I'll tell you this, and all the players are grateful for the opportunity to play a tournament, and if the amateurs are involved, we understand this is not what you do for a living, and that you know everyone's very patient, and they actually enjoy meeting different people and having a good time with the players that they play with.
Yeah, I just had the best time. And it gives me such incredible, as a journalist and a broadcaster in this field, it gives me so much more insight and even more appreciation for these guys. I've always respected them, but when you play alongside them, it's unbelievable. Grant, thanks so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime.
Oh, anytime, Ann. And it was a pleasure meeting you.
My thanks to Grant Waite. My thanks to Andy Bassett of Travelers.